Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is, oh my gosh, Saturday, February the 7th, 2015. It is flying by. I guess last week was Super Bowl. All right, I know where I am. I know what you measure everything, I guess, by football, hey? Anyway, I'm very grateful to be with you as we take a, well, hopefully an interesting little journey and look into some wonderful questions that were put to me by some very kind people who write me all the time, people who listen to this radio program. Thank you for your kind contributions. I want to thank my sponsors for making this possible. It is only through their loving gift, their kindness, that I am able to be on radio, to be able to serve you. And also for my listeners who offer questions, it's very interesting that the questions I get are so filled with insight and real authentic stuff. And I am humbly grateful for that. So let's get on with it. First question comes from Tobin. What is the real meaning of events that occur which seem to cause tragedy? Is this God's anger and wrath with us? Tobin, the pedestrian mentality of us all, including myself, is always looking to answer to something. We're like little children. And we do bad things, and then we're looking for some parental figure like God to lay down the lumber on us for the things that we have done. We're looking for rules. Everyone's looking for rules. Rules how to engage their life and live their life according to rules. So we keep the bad things out and keep the good things in. That's basically the way people live. And this is my pedestrian mentality as well as yours. All of us have it to some degree. But to go into the depth of it all, to really be clear about what this is all about, I can't live in my pedestrian mentality. There isn't an answer for everything, Tobin. Not one that I can understand in my human thinking from my rigid little points of view that are neurotic and have neurosis to them and psychosis and all the other junk that being a human being is about. I call it barnacles on my Bailey. I have a lot of barnacles around my brain that have been put there by myself and force me to interpret things incorrectly. So if I don't meditate, if I don't inwardly move into a direction where I'm not seeking thought that rationalizes evil, then I miss the whole thing. I don't get why this world is the way this world is. Even Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars in this world. And he was correct, of course. So I'm going to give you an answer that's going to be very nebulous to your mind that is seeking answers to problems that may not necessarily be problems, but they are issues in our life, and how we deal with these issues is very, very important. And so I'm going to give you an answer that's not going to be very satisfying to whatever it is that you believe in, whatever it is that you can think. But Tobin, I don't know you, so I'm going to treat you with intelligence, and hopefully some insight will come out of that. You asked me, what is the real meaning of events that occur which seem to cause tragedy? We send out an energy in the collective, all of us. This collective is really the primer for our spiritual indifference to this lifetime in this world. Most people can only live according to what they can think, what they can rationalize, and how they can, so to speak, take one thought and place it before another, and then place another thought before another, and come up with a rationalization of a philosophy about life that has nothing to do with the nature of life. I'm as responsible for this in the world as anyone else. We've all said, done, and lived things that contributed to the collective unconscious. This collective unconscious is huge, and it's mortifying, and it's embarrassing, and it's painful, and it's humiliating. And this collective believes in might. It believes in fight. It believes in power. And the power comes from the whole idea of who can destroy another. That's really what it's all about. And that's as far as it ever goes. Doesn't go any deeper, doesn't go any further, isn't about anything else. So when we're looking at tragedies in this world, we're looking at ourselves. What is it about me, Tobin, and the way I live within myself that has caused this to happen? That is the big one. That's the one you want to look at. That's the one that is most important. What is it about me that made all this possible? And you will think, well, I'm not over in this country or doing that thing in this state or whatever. How could I be responsible for that? We all are, because we are all in the collective. Now, can we make this world perfect? No. Can we make this world, quote unquote, right? No. So then what are we doing if we're not here to make the world a better place? We're here to make our heart the place. We have had great teachers, Tobin. We've had the Buddha, the sweet, inevitable Buddha. We've had Lhasa even before him. We had a Jesus. We've had some great ones come since even them. They were not a Buddha or a Jesus or a Lhasa, but we've had some very interesting masters come and go. People who awakened to what was really the ebb and flow of lifetimes and what it meant to live in a lifetime. But we don't learn. We are only interested in our environment and what we can get out of our environment. We are not interested in anything else. We are not interested in how to cultivate love inside. We're not interested in the heart. We're not willing to go through the fires of consciousness in order to, so to speak, cleanse ourselves. We're just not interested in that. None of what we do is of any interest to the heart, and the heart is not something we're interested in the first place. So anything I do and everything I do is based on survival, which is based in a certain form of hatred, a certain form of fear. We all are running around in deep fear, deep ignorance, deep anger, and we don't want to know it. We don't want to believe that of ourselves. We want to think that we're happy, quote unquote, normal, end quote, people who are just harmless, who would never do anything to hurt another person. But we don't realize we do hurt other people all the time. And until I am willing to recognize my place in this hurt and what I have done to cause such damage to this world and to others I have never physically met, I am not going to have that poor in spirit mentality that allows me to mature and unfold into love. I'm just not going to have it, and I'm not much interested in it anyway. You ask me, is this God's anger towards us? God is not a man. God is not a person. God does not get mad. God does not get glad. It's not a matter of that. No matter what you read in the Bible and what you hear from preachers, it's just to appease you, to relate to you? How do you relate to people who can't relate to anything other than thought? This life, this world, this essence is beyond thought. So what you see in the world is the culmination of great hatred. What you see in the world is the culmination of great ignorance. What you and I see in the world is a reflection of our own minds, my mind, your mind, everybody's mind. And as long as I keep going the way I am, trying to procure love or goodness out of hate and fear, I am going to keep this ugliness going on in my life. And I will keep the engine running, as I say, of the mechanism that makes all this happen. I know it's discouraging to hear these words because you want a quick answer like everybody, but there is no quick answer. I have to want love more than wanting what I think gives me love, gives me survival, gives me pleasure, gives me gratification. I have to want that which offers me more. How do you tell a person that? You don't, because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. They don't care about it. It's not their gig. It's not their thing. They just don't care. So, what can I say to you? Really, what can I say? What could I say to you to help you understand the nature of all of this? Probably nothing. You have to feel the pull to want to go to love. Beyond the idea of your own survival, you have to be willing to give up everything within you that is surrounded by hate and fear for the sake of love. And if you can do this, if you are willing of this, you will find wonderful, wonderful insights occurring. You will unfold. And that's what it's all about, to find unfoldment. I hope that helps you, Tobin. I'm sorry I'm so, obscure? I'm sorry I'm not able to put it into finite words and to concepts that most people can accept. But if you can read between the lines of what I've given you, you'll get it. And it will change your life drastically. Please forgive me. Namaste. I love questions that come to me like Tobin's, where I am forced to try to explain something that I can't understand with my human brain, that I am forced to go to that other part of me. And sometimes when I do that, I realize I'm not reaching the masses, as it were, so... That's why I'm so unpopular. Well, one of the reasons. The next question comes from Carrie. I run around thinking everything is as I believe it to be. Then I listen to one of your radio programs and I really realize that's not true. Then I go back and run around thinking that everything is as I believe it to be. I suspect that there is more. Am I wrong? Please help, Carrie. Carrie, I love hearing from you. I really do. And I want to thank you. Yes, you are right. We all run around thinking we know. We live by a mind that needs logic and reasoning and proof and some sort of right and wrong, good and bad thing. We live in a misery. We live in a theory. We live in a philosophy. We live in a frown at times, and other times a meager smile. But we don't live consciously. We don't live willingly. To live willingly, to live consciously, is what it's all about. Yes, you are correct. We run around truly thinking that everything is as we want it to be. This person is a good person. This person is not such a good person. This person is doing this. This person's doing that. Look at the little things you do. The little things like cleaning your house and making your bed, or working in the garden or whatever it is that you do that is a part of maybe the maintenance of your life. And ask yourself, where is the life in this living that I am doing? How am I doing any of this consciously? Am I being conscious in my living? Am I being conscious at all about anything? And what does it mean to be conscious? Being conscious doesn't mean I have a thought. When I am thinking as Greg, I am blowing it. When I am thinking as Greg, I am only rationalizing. Look at your thoughts for a moment. Just look at them, Carrie. What are they? What are they doing? What do they reflect? What is the quality of a thought? What does it do? Where does it come from? Just look at your thoughts. Look and see what they are and how they're occurring within you. If you can just practice watching a thought, just one thought, and then watch another thought and watch another thought, just watch it. Don't do anything about it. Don't get involved in it. This is called conscious contemplation. Just sit and watch a thought. Watch where it comes from, how it formulates, how it rises, how it falls, how it leads to another one, and how this goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on to nauseam. Just watch. Just watch. You don't have to do anything about it. I'm not asking you to do anything about it. I just want you to watch. Now, if you can watch this and see it for what it is, you will start to see the illusion and delusion that occurs within it. You'll start to understand, oh, this thought is just a figment of my imagination. You will start to realize that these are just mirages that we are creating, stories we are creating. You say you run around and everything is as you believe it to be. You suspect that there is more. You are right. There is more. But if I get caught up only in my thinking, if my mind it can only contain my thinking, what do I have? What is left? What kind of love is there? Love cannot be a thought. Love is the fragrance of the heart. Blooming in you like a lotus blossom over and over and over again. And how come I can't think that? Because those things aren't thoughts. They can't be a thought. And when you understand it can't be a thought and it can't be taught, I'm a poet and don't know it. Once you understand that, then you let go of thought. You let go of trying to make a thought. You let go of the process of your thinking. When that has been released, then something new happens. A new mind is born. We call that mind no mind. A mind no longer seeking to consider, as the Buddha said, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. Now, when you start living in this kind of mind, Carrie, things will change. Not in the world, but in you. You will start to see things as they truly are, and not as you say here in your little email to me, as you believe they are. Merely believing in a thought means nothing. Merely believing that thoughts exist and that they should be considered real does not matter. It is not what it's all about. We have traveled many thousands of lifetimes. Our feet are worn out due to the travel. We travel and travel and travel, doing the superficial dance, living by superficialities, constantly living by them, never recognizing them, never understanding them, never really doing them correctly. To do a correct superficiality simply means I see it for what it is, a superficiality, and then I cease doing it. That's how you do it. You have to catch yourself in the act of being superficial. If you don't, you won't know you're there. So it isn't a matter of being suspect. It's a matter of being objective. And if you can be objective with everything that is occurring within, you will find deep changes occurring within your own being. You'll start to see, it's love. I have put my attentions in the wrong place. I have merely made them the servant of my ego, my vanity, my pride. I have merely made them the servant of emotionalism, which is what it's really all about for us. Emotion is a conduit to love, but it is not love itself. And when I make it love itself, then I make it ugly. And I have many emotions to make me ugly. I have many. So I hope that helps you, Carrie. I could go on and on with that, but that's the short answer of my silliness for today. I hope it helps. I really do. And Carrie, keep the questions rolling. I always look for yours, and please forgive me. Namaste. Carrie writes me probably once a month. He's a very interesting person. Very interesting. The last question comes from Angel. I don't know where Angel lives. Greg, again, please remind me, please. Why am I here? Angel. I was so touched by this question, Angel. I really was. I love the way you wrote it, Greg. Greg, please remind me. Why am I here? Oh, God, is that beautiful. Thank you, Angel. Thank you. It is, we are here as we are right now for the sake of love. Please remember that, dear heart. Remember, it is only love that makes this whole thing meaningful. It isn't money. It isn't people. It isn't family. It isn't objects. It isn't things. It isn't mind. It isn't emotion. It is only love. And you must find that love deep in your heart. And you must want it more than you want anything else in your life. Only the love. That is the only thing that truly matters. The rest is just a foolishness. And if you can understand that, if you can be aware of that, in everything that you do, put love forward. Make it first. Don't live like the masses do, thinking that love does not exist, or that love is to be deserved. You are the love you seek. The human is the muck and the mire of my stupidity, my confusion, my emotionalism. I don't have to correct that to know love. I just have to see it for what it is and move on to love. One of the teachings I've been giving my students of late to get them ready for Mount Madonna and the powerful experiences we're going to have there at retreat in March is that love knows nothing of hate, and hate knows nothing of love. The human heart cannot relate to the spiritual heart, the authentic heart. And the authentic heart cannot relate to the human heart because it doesn't know it exists. Neither one of them know of each other because they exist in different dimensions. So why be worried about it? Why not just go to love and allow it to live you? Allow it to have its way with you. Allow it to change your life. When love is more important than trying to rationalize and theorize what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, you will have something immensely important, immensely beautiful, immensely you. It is all about how beautiful you are. This is hard for us to understand because when I say you, Angel, most people believe that that means the human. But I am talking about something other than human. I am talking about the divine. I am talking about the goodness of your nature, the beauty of your being, your soulfulness. This is what lives in you as you. And as you drop the idea of needing a you, a me, and an I, you start to realize this thing is so beautiful. It's so big. You can drown in the beauty of it. You can drown in sweetness of it. You can drown in the divine of it, and you will live so beautifully. That's what it's all about. Angel, you touch me because I heard the sincerity in your voice behind your words. And I'm grateful that you listen to these radio programs and that you find them helpful. They are very important. Most people just pass them by. It's a mere philosophy. And I think it'd be very, very helpful to you to let love live you. I really do. I hope this helps you. I really do, Angel. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow. What a question. What a sweet question. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be able to be of service to you, and please come to the website here at aspire.org, and there you will see at the top of the page, contact. Just contact me, email me, let me know what's on your pee picker, and I'd love to hear from you, and maybe I'll be able to be of service to you. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.